Welcome back to Sundial on WLRN. Well, South Florida is experiencing a bit of an infestation of these poisonous toads, sometimes called cane toads. This is what they sound like. Now, these cane toads, sometimes called cane toads, are also known as bufo toads, started appearing in Palm Beach Gardens in the masses. One resident tweeted a photo of these toads swarming across their swimming pool, covering the walls. It got bad. For residents, this has sparked some fears of pet poisoning. Janine Tilford is the owner of Toad Busters, a pest control business that collects cane toads at homes. And she says she's been getting about 100 calls a day.
Going out into Miami where a lady, she had several cats outside. She had come out there and she saw how many toads that were out there. We ended up catching like 135 in one night. And they were all the size of salad plates because they ate so much cat food. They were just fat. Literally, when we were done collecting off the property, my back was sore because we carried so many heavy toads.
Dr. Steve Johnson is an associate professor at the University of Florida's Department of Wildlife Ecology and Conservation. He specializes on cane toads. He's joining us from the studios of WUFT in Gainesville. Dr. Johnson, such a pleasure.
Glad to be here.
All right. You know what? Let's start by explaining. We heard what they sound like, but what does a cane toad look like so we know what to spot?
Okay, well, as being a toad, it has toad features. And in general, the toads that you'll see in Florida are chunky, stout-bodied animals. They're usually brown, gray, reddish-brown, maybe a little yellow in them. They have warts on them, and you generally find them on the ground. They're not really good. They're not good climbers, so you're going to find them hopping around the ground.
And
so they look like another toad, but they can get really big, as you just alluded to.
How big are we talking about?
Yeah, a large toad, particularly a female, might be 6-7 inches long from her snout to her rump. So they can get really big, much bigger than any of the native toads that are in the state.
Are they native to Florida?
They are not native here. No, they are native to Central and South America. They get into the U.S., but only in very southern Texas. So the ones that are here got here by the actions of people.
Now, is this a specific species of toad, or are there different types of these cane toads or bufo toads?
It's one particular species. There's a lot of toads, around the world, but this is a particular type that's been moved a lot by people in the past because it's thought that they were able to control pests on sugar cane, hence the name cane toad. And scientists are forever, studying toads and other animals and changing scientific names, but they used to be in the scientific genus Bufo, and that's where they get the name Bufo and hence the name Bufo toad.
And we talked about the story. I mean, we've seen different people posting up on social media when they find these things in their pool or around their house. Usually, where do you find these toads hanging out? Do they have a specific area they really like?
All right. Well, in general, this cane toads in Florida aren't really good invaders, at least right now, as far as we can tell, of natural areas. They do really well, though, in humid-modified environments, suburban neighborhoods, golf courses, agricultural areas, ball fields. And in those places, you're going to find the toads near a source of cover, near a source of moisture, and where they can get food. And a backyard in the Miami area is ideal habitat for cane toads.
All right, so it's a scary question. How fast do these things reproduce?
Well, a female can produce at one time. She can lay, 10, 20, 30,000 eggs. Now, fortunately, most of those, so the eggs will turn into tadpoles. They will eventually undergo a major metamorphosis into a little baby toad about the size of a raisin. They're really small when they first transform from a tadpole to the adult form as a baby toad, and then they'll grow. Fortunately, most of those animals are going to die. They're going to desiccate, or they won't find enough food, or we would be totally overrun with them. So this initial outburst people are seeing is going to decline as those young toads disperse from the place where they came out of the water, and then as ones die. But obviously they're surviving and doing quite well, but they have a very high reproductive potential, no doubt.
I'm talking with Dr. Steve Johnson. He's an associate professor at the University of Florida's Department of Wildlife Ecology and Conservation, and we're talking about the bufo toad or the cane toad. And again, stories coming out of Palm Beach Gardens, Palm Beach County, where people are starting to see these toads. in different parts of their, around their house and neighborhoods. And these are poisonous. We're going to get into this in just a second. These, by the way, Dr. Johnson is joining us from the studios of WUFT in Gainesville. Dr. Johnson, you mentioned a moment ago, you know, because of their nickname Cane Toad, it's, they were brought into South Florida to help in protecting sugarcane, weren't they?
They certainly were. Back in the 1930s, there was a meeting convened in Puerto Rico, as a matter of fact, where somebody extolled the virtues of the toads. They said, "Okay, this is going to be our solution to controlling cane grubs that were damaging sugarcane in sugarcane growing areas around the world." And so there was a lot of excitement. Toads were introduced many places. For example, there was about 100 of them shipped over to Australia. They were introduced here in Florida. The ones in Australia were brought from Hawaii. They have had huge impacts, negative impacts on the environment in Australia. They were brought here and released. But as far as we can tell, and from what scientists, as best they can figure out, the ones that are established here now weren't the result of that initial introduction. They were initially introduced as a biological control agent. And we now know in hindsight that introducing a vertebrate animal, for instance, a toad, is not a good idea because they eat a heck of a lot more than just cane beetles. And in fact, they weren't a solution at all. And now we're stuck with them. Go ahead.
And you said that, you know, they were destructive to the Australian environment. What have they been to our environment?
Now, fortunately, as I said, as far as we can tell, they don't really invade natural areas. Not yet, or maybe hopefully they won't at all. We don't exactly know why that's the case. The native wildlife in Australia did not evolve with a native toad, so they don't recognize it as a threat. They don't have a way, you know, to behaviorally avoid it. They don't have physiological mechanisms to deal with it if they were to eat one. The wildlife here are able to do that, so it might be that there's some, you know, biotic resistance in natural areas, but we're just really not sure right now. So the main concern in Florida at present is the sort of the socioeconomic impact of the toads, the fact that they, you know, can cause sickness or death in a pet. And if you're, you know, somebody who's got a pet dog or a cat that you love like a child, like I do, you know, my pet was to get negatively impacted by a cane toad, it'd be a devastating impact on me. And then also there's a cost because, you know, people are having to take their animals to the vet. So there's an economic and a human quality of life impact that the toads are having here. But as far as we can tell, their ecological impacts right now don't seem to be too big, which is fortunate because we have a lot of other invasive species like the Burmese python, for example, that are having some big ecological impacts in Florida.
And, you know, you've been mentioning it, and I just want to point out when I say poisonous, it's, you know, it's really dangerous to your pets or small children. Not, you know, I don't want to touch a toad anyway, but it's not going to harm me, right?
No, you really have to. It's this toxin, this thick viscous substance that's contained in what are called the parotoid. That's just the scientific jargon name for these large glands. There's a pair of them on the one on each shoulder of the toad, and that big gland has a lot of poison ducts. And if you put that gland under pressure, so if you were to catch a toad and squeeze that gland, that toxin would squirt out under pressure. And that's the same thing that happens when the dog bites it. But it's you know, people don't have to worry about them being a threat to them. Now, you wouldn't want a young child putting it in their mouth, that's for sure. But it's that poison that can come out of those glands that are the major problem with the cane toads.
So obviously we heard from, you know, there are companies that you can call. They'll come out and deal with this issue. But is this something that, you know, as a homeowner, I can try, if I wanted to go out and deal with all those toads, that I could do this myself, or should I call somebody in to do it?
Well, you certainly could do it yourself. As you mentioned, some folks might be repelled by the idea of catching a toad that I'm about to explain. And fortunately, you have the resource. Unfortunately, we've got to the situation where cane toads are so bad that we need these nuisance wildlife trappers like the toad buster group that was mentioned earlier. But if you want to do it yourself, first of all, you want to make your property less attractive to toads. So, for instance, they will eat pet food that is left out. So if you have an outdoor cat, first of all, I would encourage you to keep your cat indoors. It's much safer for the cat and safer for the environment. But if you have food you set out for your pets, you don't want to leave that out. You want to bring that in at night, or just don't put it out at all. Also, if there's a source of moisture, such as water for your pets, or if you have an AC unit or something else that drips water, toads will seek moisture. If you have security lights that are on all night and they're attracting insects, you're creating a food source for cane toads, and you'd want to remove that. You also want to pick up any debris around your yard. Cane toads like to hide in debris piles, and that could be just regular, you know, trash, you know, like a discarded lawnmower, for example, but also yard waste. I normally am encouraging people, hey, leave brush piles laying around to encourage wildlife because they need a place to hide. But in this case, you want to remove that. You want to trim your shrubs up off the ground so there's no places for cane toads to hide, and then just sort of patch any holes that you might have. So that's the first step, is making your yard less suitable. But you can also catch the toads.
And, yeah, no, that's
that's another thing totally.
Though. I'll let somebody else handle that. All good things that we're going to, by the way, post up on our social media, WLR and Sundial. Things to think about. Again, talking with Dr. Steve Johnson, associate professor at the University of Florida's Department of Wildlife Ecology and Conservation. Again, the bufo toads, these cane toads seen up in Palm Beach County. If you've seen them, you know what? Take a picture, share with us at WLR and Sundial. But you know what? Like I said, keep it away from your pet or your children. Dr. Johnson, thank you so much. I really appreciate the time.
My pleasure.
All right, still to come, WLRN's Alicia Zuckerman introduces us to National Poetry Month in a conversation with poet Richard Blanco. That's coming up next here on Sundial.